Welcome back to the Chicago Tomahawk. I'm Mike, and I got my line mate Matt with me. And today we're going to go over the trade deadline that just passed. Pretty interesting, man. And I'll be honest with you, I think that there is a lot of moves. And I want to say that Colorado really put people on notice. I think that if anything that I got from this year's trade deadline is that Colorado is looking to win the Stanley Cup this year. They're not looking to waste Nathan MacKinnon's youth. They're going to ride this thing, man, until the wheels fall off. And I can't say the same about Edmonton. I think Edmonton, they didn't do anything, did they?
Minor move. They got the depth player from the Ducks, Adam Henrique.
Right.
Not a bad pickup, but no, I think I would have. Yeah, he's a good player, I think another guy they shipped with him, Carrick or something. But yeah, I think that you got to address your weaknesses. Their depth's pretty good, but maybe another piece on defense would have been smarter, or maybe even chasing another goalie. But yep, they want to outscore their problems. Hopefully, that can happen in the playoffs for them.
Well, it hasn't worked for the past 3 years. Why don't we go for four? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, if Stuart Skinner plays the way he has been playing, which has been very good, these guys were dead last at one point.
Right.
And they, they've had a great winning streak, I think 17 games. McDavid, as I predicted, he's going to win the scoring title. I still think he's got time to do it. He just scored today against Pittsburgh first shift. He's on a mission. MacKinnon and Kucherov have excellent seasons too, but McDavid is slowly kind of climbing his way back to the top. The dude's a freak. But
he is.
Yeah, if Skinner could play the way he's been playing, pretty solid goaltending, I think they might make a little noise this year, a little more noise. Maybe they can make it. I don't know. A lot of teams loaded up. But yeah, McDavid's just an absolute freak, dude.
Blackhawks didn't really have any assets to give up during the trade deadline. I was expecting Tyler Johnson to get some interest, but apparently that wasn't the case. Are you kind of surprised by that, Matt?
Yeah, I would say he was probably the only guy that had like some interest or value to even move. I've heard rumblings of the Rangers kind of calling about him. I thought that would have been a solid pickup for, he's a, a two-time cup champ, can perform. The thing that is scary is his injuries, and teams probably didn't want to, give a pick away for that, and I don't blame him.
Yeah, I don't either. But I was surprised that there wasn't more interest from him. The Blackhawks traded Anthony Beauvillier to the Preds for essentially nothing. And Boris Kachuk hit waivers. He was claimed by the Senators. Kind of funny, to be honest with you.
Kachuk and Kachuk.
Kachuk. Yeah.
Put Beauvillier, those two on the line together.
They were saying, Richardson and Foligno had some really nice things to say about him, and they said he was a great locker room guy. And they said that he was very easy to make friends with, and he was somebody that everybody liked having around. So they said he's going to be missed. So it is what it is. I wish he would have gotten a little bit more of a chance. I mean, he had a pretty high ceiling out there with the Islanders, and he just hasn't been able to find it. He got a little bit of an injury here with the Blackhawks right when he came in. But other than that, man, I don't really see him get too much of an opportunity.
Well, we did Vancouver a favor when we traded for him. They got their much-needed cap relief. They had to sign some studs, move some guys around. They're loading up. That's a team that, they didn't do much at the deadline. They did their work before the deadline, like near the All-Star break, and that team is very good. I think they're going to make some noise in the playoffs, but when we traded for him, we took on that full hit, and I think it's around $5 million, I want to say. So Nashville was interested, and, if anything, Davidson freed up $5 million for next year, so we'll see how he uses it.
So what is that, like $45 million in cap space or something like that?
$85 million we have now in cap space, it seems like. No, we got, realistically, man, we got like five guys that are maybe NHL guys right now, and the rest are call-ups, maybe fourth-line guys, but if you, we could totally change his team around if we wanted to. I don't know. I fear that Davidson might be falling in love with these types of players like Dickinson. And no, don't get me wrong, he's having a great season. Foligno's a great player on the back nine of his career. He knows it. But, you know, he's throwing money around like crazy. And I'm glad it's short-term deals. Like the 2 years, $4 million ain't going to hurt anything. Same with Mrazek. Yeah. I think he's earned every penny of it. Yeah. But I just hope that... The thing is, we're going to be playing January 1st at Wrigley Field. And I hope we don't have a roster like this. Because it's not very entertaining. Yeah, Connor Bedard, yes, he's all the spotlight. Yes, absolutely. You know, keep the camera, the Connor cam, if you wanted to, on this guy, because that's all that's all we have right now. I mean, we have Korchinski, who's still young. He's learning. You know, Vlasic's been a surprise, kind of wants to be that main shutdown guy, and he's playing hard. He's playing well. I think he's a positive rating, too, which is very good to hear.
Welcome surprise, man.
And then, you know, we got guys in the system, Nazar and Oliver Moore, and... The thing is, like, yeah, a lot of people think, okay, these guys are coming up next year. It's just a big what if. We don't know if they're ready yet. I mean, we hope they are. That Sammy Savoy, I believe, was close to making this team, and he took a kind of a nasty hit in preseason, and I think his whole season was over.
Yeah.
But those are the guys we're going to need, and I hope Davidson really looks into finding a guy that is not afraid to drop the gloves. We need a guy on this team, especially when Bedard is very young still. He's getting bullied out there big time. I mean, we're scoring goals and he's getting hit after the whistle. The play is dead. He's getting bumped. You know, I would like to see Davidson go after, maybe spend a little money, get a tough guy. Just say, hey, you defend your teammates no matter what. I like the NHL's kind of shifting a little bit with Matt Rempe. We're seeing more fights, and I love it, dude.
Yeah, I do too. Hawks fell to the Caps 5-1. Hawks lost that game in the first period, as you say. The Hawks finally won a road game against the Yotes. It's kind of funny, man. I was on DraftKings. I was putting some money on the Yotes, dude, and they were coming through for me. They were like a plus every single game, but they're back to their losing ways, I think. You know, playing in front of 5,000 people doesn't help. Seth Jones had 2 goals. Tyler Johnson had 3 assists, and Bedard had 2 helpers. I wanted to talk about the rookie scoring race in a second. The Blackhawks had 4 power play goals and the 5th road win of the season. They're going to have a rematch. What is it? Well, going to be Sunday night after we record this podcast. So the points leaders for rookies are Connor Bedard at number 1, 43, Brock Faber at 37, Marco Rossi, 33, Luke Hughes, 32, notably Luke Hughes, a defenseman.
Those guys, right? The 2 guys under Bedard are defensemen too, right?
I don't see what their positions. I just know that Luke Hughes is. Oh. Dmitry Voronkov is 31. Luke Evangelista is 30. Logan Cooley is 30. What a surprise, man. Logan Cooley coming up out of nowhere, to be honest with you. Connor Zaria, 29. Tyson Forrester, 28. And Adam Fantilli at 27. Notably, Fantilli's been injured, so he hasn't been able to kind of keep pace. I think he was 3rd at one point.
Oh, yeah.
And it would have been 3rd or 2nd, I think.
He was 3rd behind Luke Hughes. And the Devils just took a nosedive, but
they did, dude.
These two defensemen. Holy smoke. I give a lot of, actually, I'm sorry. Brock Faber is a defenseman on Minnesota, having a great year. That's great numbers for a young defenseman. And Rossi is a center. He's at 33. So they got some rookies stepping up in Minnesota. They played all year. You know, Connor missed 6 weeks and he's still at the top. It's not even debatable. He's the rookie of the year. You can end the season right now. He's still the rookie of the year. He's the most talented player out there at his age level. And there's really no debate. You see all these Minnesota guys. Oh, he's a defenseman. He's super young. He's putting up those points. Yeah, he's good. He's a good player. But I'm sorry. Connor Bedard's in the league right now, and he's missed 6 weeks. And he's still leading in points. I'm sorry. Not debatable.
He's 18.
Yeah, not debatable.
Not debatable at all. Too bad for Fantilli, man. He was having a great season. I think he's as advertised, man, on who he was going to be.
Yeah, I mean, if we didn't get Connor, I would hope that we would have got him, and I would have been really happy. It's just, you know, it's a big drop off in skill level with Bedard and Fantelli, but he's going to be an elite player one day. He's going to get there. I just don't know if it's going to be with the Jackets.
Yeah. Do you think that Logan Cooley is going to be a future superstar?
You know what? There's a couple guys that, you know, they're not rookies anymore, but Byfield on the Kings, young guy, he's stepping up big time this year. Logan Cooley, yeah, it's coming out of nowhere. I've heard, you know, you heard the name when he was drafted. It's like, hey, I wonder how long it's going to take for him when he, you know, when he first starts, how many years? Like, is it going to be like Jack Hughes where it takes him a good 2 years of yikes before, holy crap, this guy's really good. Yeah. But yeah, a lot of these guys are kind of like, they're just making the team and they're like immediately impactful. So it's good. There's a good youth wave coming through and it's good for the league.
What's going on with the Devils, man? They had a complete nosedive, like you said.
Well, Jack Hughes, man, he got hurt, and the goaltending was absolutely horrible. And you know,
yeah,
they got two new goalies at the deadline. They brought in Jake Allen, and I forget who else they brought in. I'll have to look on the trade list when we go over it. But yeah, you need a guy. In the end, Lindy Ruff got fired because the goaltenders could not stop the puck. And that's a huge problem. And they were very close to getting Jacob Markstrom from the Flames. And I think it was just too late. You know, if you trade for them, they're fighting for a wild card spot now. It could be done still. But I'm talking to a lot of Devils people. They're saying that they're going to go hard on Markstrom in the summer and try to get him all season. And I you know what? That's smart. You know, try to get in and make some noise with your two replacement goalies and see if you can get Markstrom for an even better deal.
Yeah. Incredible. The Penguins, man, there's word that Sidney Crosby's unhappy with Jake Guentzel being traded. He got traded to Carolina. And so what, like, oh, this is probably a first time for Crosby, you know, his first season in the league, you know, I think the Penguins sucked. And then after that, he's always had a pretty much a winning season. Do you think that this is, this is obviously the turning point for the Penguins? They need to rebuild of years and years of, you know, kind of putting band-aids on the squad, and the squad always kind of coming in there, not ready. I would say they're playoff ready, but just not really built to do any damage in the playoffs. Do you think that the Penguins are essentially in a rebuild mode now?
Trading Guentzel away is probably a good sign. Like, hey, it's time to change it up now. I didn't agree with the Erik Karlsson trade. I thought if anything, it hurt Letang. I thought there, you kind of got, what's this, the phrase, too many cooks in the kitchen type of thing. Right. They're both kind of PP1 guys that quarterback the power play. I did look at Carlson's numbers. He's actually a positive rating, so it just shows he's obviously playing better D, or he has a good defensive partner. I don't like it. They that cap hit's very large, and it's going to be hard to move him. But I don't know if you saw Crosby's interview after they traded Guentzel, but he kind of reminded me of an angry Taves, like a guy who was very frustrated. Like, why? I don't know. You got to ask them. Like, why are you asking me this? Like, he just looked very annoyed. You know, like, oh, dude, this kid's good. You know, why would you do that? It's kind of like how we felt when, you know, we traded DeBrincat away. You trade a good young guy away, and you pissed off Kane. And now Kane was pissed. You got rid of his, you know, his sniper. And yeah, it could be like the same for Sid. And dude, I think it would be great to see, the hockey fan in me wants to see Sid and McKinnon on a line together. I think it would be awesome. You know, they got a good bond.
Yeah, they do.
The hockey fan in me, but you know, like I like the loyalty. If he sticks with his team, I like that too. But in fantasy world, I think it would be awesome. Crosby on the Avalanche.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of saying. Like, I would always think that Crosby would be a Penguin for life. You know, he's so like ingrained with the town of Pittsburgh, and you know, his identity is, I mean, it's just like Taves, man. His identity is with the Blackhawks. Is he going to say, hey, you know what? You know, I spent so much time here. I'm just gonna finish out my playing career here and help them bring up a new squad, or is it like, hey, you know what? I want to go. I still want to compete. Yeah, I still want to compete.
And he's still playing at a high level too, which is crazy.
Yeah,
he's, man, he's still a stud. I think it's up to him in the end, and I hope he says his feelings before stuff happens, like Kane didn't. You know, I think Kane deep down would want to be here still. Deep down. I'm sure he's having a great time with Cat again and competing for a playoff spot, but his heart is here, and I think Sid is the same. I know he has a great relationship with Mario, and maybe he'll be like, hey, you know, I played every year here of my life in Pittsburgh, Mario, and you should too, type of thing. We'll have to wait and see, but he definitely didn't look happy in that interview.
Do you think that there's, you know, there is like zero goalie movement? Are you kind of surprised by that?
I was really surprised with, you know, even the Leafs and Edmonton. I thought, and honestly, Carolina was the number one team I thought that would, you know, want to get a goalie that was available. New Jersey, they got two. They got Kukkonen and Jake Allen. I just don't know if that's enough. Jack Hughes is back. But man, I was really surprised to see Carolina not get a goalie. They sent Ranta down to the Wolves, Chicago Wolves. They made that big splash for Gensel, which, yeah, you like that. They also got Evgeny Kuznetsov from the Capitals. And I was surprised the Capitals gave up on the guys. I heard he's had a lot of issues with the substance stuff, and he's back, and he says he's changing his ways. I like what they did there, but I don't think they did anything in the goaltending department, and that's what's been hurting them, you know, in the playoffs the last couple seasons.
Matt, which teams do you think got better?
So honestly, dude, I think Tampa Bay did very well. They brought in Anthony Duclair, former Blackhawk, former a lot of teams. He's been around a little bit. He scored last night against Philly. They brought in Matt Dumba from the Coyotes. Dumba had a big hit on Bedard the last meeting, so we don't have to worry about that today. I thought that was good. They make those little moves that, you know, make them really good still. Like, they know their weaknesses. And now they won 7-0 against Philly. Philly is a playoff team, and they kind of embarrassed them yesterday. Torts had a big meltdown. I don't know if you saw it, but I think Tampa did well. I think Vegas did well, knowing that, you know, they put everybody on long-term IR. Mark Stone, the greatest hockey player to ever live. They got Noah Hanifin, I believe, from Calgary, defenseman, very good defenseman, and they got a surprise Thomas Hertl from the Sharks. Which, the Sharks, what are you doing? They're retaining like half of his salary for 3 years. That's just insane. But Vegas did well. Carolina did well up front. I don't know if they did enough in the back. But even the Rangers made some little moves. They got Jack from Columbus, and he's a good top six kind of a grinder like guy you need in the playoffs. And Boston actually got Patty Maroon, which is funny to me because Jack Edwards called him fat, the play by play guy, and yeah. It's kind of got to be a little awkward, you know, on that plane ride now when they're traveling together. But hey, he's a playoff guy. He knows how to win. He's been in a lot of finals. I thought that was a good move for Boston.
Let's talk about, you know, obviously with the playoffs coming, something that's been very popular is how teams are using LTIR. Now, like clockwork, I think Matt, what is it? Mark Stone's back on LTIR.
Yeah.
Do you think that going into, and they, you know, they say he's guaranteed he's going to be playing game one of the playoffs. Do you think that during the next CBA that they're going to be talking about how LTIR is used? One of the things that is being suggested is that if you can't play, if you don't play game 82 of the regular season, you shouldn't be able to play game one of the playoffs. How do you feel about that, Matt?
I think they should, you know what they should do to make it easier? Raise the cap $5 million for all the playoff teams. Like if you're in the hunt, I think that would be a good idea. Like to maneuver and, you know, load up a little bit. $5 million is not a lot, but if you got space to bring in a guy, I think that would be pretty cool. But yeah, Mark Stone, it's kind of like what Tampa did with, well, Kucherov had a legit injury. Like we knew when they were winning those cups, Kucherov that first season, he was hurt. He missed the whole season.
Yeah, he did. And
there's records of him getting surgery and all that stuff. Like, there's really no, Mark Stone, like the guy's hurt almost once a week.
Yeah.
So and a back injury is kind of, it's really like, it's how you feel. It's like, hey, my back's not good tonight. And you can get all the x-rays and stuff. There's probably like tightness and all kinds of stuff. But all the olden days, remember Karpatsev where Pat Foley used to rant about him when they traded him? He would always say his back was hurting. And it's like, it's just hard to, you know, it's hard to like treat and stuff, but I haven't been a Mark Stone fan since he called out that young kid trying to make the team, whatever game. Like Mark Stone, you're allowed to get hit. Everybody in this league's allowed to get hit, and I just think like he's just soft, and it's not fair that you know you're gonna run your mouth like that because you won the Stanley Cup and you played like five season games. Come on, dude. He's a good player, but I just don't think he's like that missing link type of guy. I don't even know why they made him the captain, quite honestly.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of him at all, to be honest with you. I think that he's incredibly overrated. But it seems like every single year it's the same story that this dude's on LTIR for a period of time, and then he's back for the playoffs. Now, Kucherov, they did it one time, okay? And
he was legitimately hurt.
And he was legitimately hurt. He was recovering from surgery, and he came back for the playoffs. So, you know, look, I get that. That's one thing. When Patrick Kane did it, he was legitimately hurt during the season, and he came back for the playoffs. It's like every single year this happens. I'm curious on how this gets, what they talk about, how they get dealt, and what some of the solutions that they're gonna come up with, because I think that it rubs a lot of people the wrong way.
Well, yeah, the GMs are smart. They're playing with salary retaining too, which helps Vegas. Pretty much all their trades, the other team is taking on some salary. So, I mean, honestly, I think it's going to hurt Vegas. In a couple seasons, they literally give their draft picks away. I mean, if you're a Vegas fan, though, you got to be happy. Your owner, he wants to win. And the guy's doing everything it takes to win. He's bringing in good play. It reminds me of the 90s Wings. Like, this guy is doing anything to make it, you know, win some cups, build his name and stuff. But, like, honestly, in the end, he's traded probably his last four first round picks. It's gonna catch up to you, but they just don't develop anybody over there. They buy their teams. They like a guy. They'll pay for it. They'll pay with first round picks and a top prospect. It's like, geez, that's crazy. Because Alex Tuch, I thought was a really good player, and you know they brought in Jack Eichel, who's an even better player, but they paid a lot. Pitt and Buffalo is going to be good in a couple seasons.
Yeah, they did.
It's just taking long. They got to be patient. But they did the same thing with Thomas Hertl. Very good player. He's been good for the Sharks for a couple seasons. They're paying half of his salary, the Sharks, to go play in Vegas. It's like, why are you helping your, you know what I mean? You're helping your division rival here. But in another sense, they're getting a first-round pick from Vegas. So they're loading up on young talent, and eventually it's going to hurt Vegas because those top teams, they're real quick to give away these first rounders. And then eventually your guys get old. It's like, uh-oh, we don't have anybody in the system.
We don't have any picks.
Yeah, we're in trouble here. And that eventually that's what happened to the Hawks. It's going to happen to Pittsburgh. It happened to Detroit. They hit a rut. You know, they had no good guys coming in until Dylan Larkin. You know, it took a long time. So in the end, yeah, people are mad about it, but yeah, give it some time. Vegas is going to be in the basement sooner enough.
Matt, do you have any, do you have anything that, any predictions for the playoffs, any predictions on how you think the Western Conference and Eastern Conference are going to shake up from the, from the moves that you've seen?
So I did forget to mention, I love the move. I liked the move, I guess. I didn't love it. Tarasenko to the Panthers, I thought was an interesting move, and it should help. But you worry, like, hey, did we need him? Did we really need this guy? Or is it, hey, let's get this guy so the Rangers don't grab him or Tampa doesn't grab him type of move? But he played last night. He scored already. Florida, very good team. You know, Matthew Tkachuk was an animal last season. And you know what? My prediction is I think the Panthers will come out of the East. And for the West, I just can't bet against McDavid right now. But I know the goaltending and the defense, they stink at times. So, but I don't know, something about McDavid. He just seems like on a mission this year. He's quietly going to catch everybody. I got Edmonton taking on the Panthers, and I think the Panthers are going to hoist the cup this year.
You know, I've got something really similar. I've got the Avs taking on Edmonton, and I think that the Avs are not going to be stopped this year, dude. I just think that McKinnon he's a force, dude. And, you know, if you score 150 points or 125 points, it doesn't matter, you know?
Yeah, you got to do it in the playoffs.
You have to, that skill is there. That's top-notch skill, you know? And I don't think that, I just don't see anybody stopping him right now. Just the team in general. I mean, I think that he has a stacked team. They have good goaltending. They have good defense. They got Cale Makar on the back end. You know, he had a hat trick a couple days ago.
He's a freak.
And yeah. And I just don't see Edmonton, no matter how good McDavid is. If McDavid scores 130 points this year, McKinnon's going to have 115, 120. So they pretty much cancel each other out. What else does, what else do they have? Okay, they got Mikko Rantanen, and they've got Leon Draisaitl. I mean, those two dudes practically cancel each other out right there. Tim, you know,
Zach Hyman for Edmonton's having a career year in goals. He's could hit 50. He's at 40. Good year for solid pickup by Kenny Holland on that team. They took him away from Toronto, which. Another head scratcher for me. Toronto lets that guy go. It's like, ooh, that's got to hurt.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised about that too.
Yeah, it's got to hurt seeing him with his production. He got Nuge still. He solid center for them. Those guys. They got a good team. Adam Henrique was a good move too. He's a depth guy. I forget who said it, but they said he's one of the most low maintenance guys. He does his job no matter where. Adam Henrique. I think it was Kevin Bieksa actually. He said. What a low maintenance guy, does his job, great teammate. And those are the guys you need. And plus, don't forget, they signed Corey Perry too, who kind of comes alive in the playoffs too. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, that is really interesting because Adam Henrique is somebody that you could put as a second line center role, and you could also put him on a third line center grinding type of role too. He's good on the faceoff dot. Really interesting, man. Yeah, I don't see. I think Edmonton they're going to fall victim to what they've always fell victim to, themselves. Wanting Connor to do the whole thing all by himself, and Leon essentially getting, you know, essentially the rest of that load, and these guys not being able to overcome that in the playoffs because it's just too much, man. The regular season is one thing, but the playoffs is something completely different. As far as the Panthers getting Tarasenko, I do think that it's a really good pickup for him because you could have a situation where you're like, you know what, we need some more offense and just throw him on one of the top two lines and have him, you know, do his thing up there instead of being like, okay, you know, we're just going to go out there and we're just going to let Matthew Tkachuk cause havoc. You know, they've got another weapon now, and that makes them more dangerous.
Reinhardt, yeah. They got Reinhardt, some good scores.
Reinhardt, Carter Verhaeghe, I think, is a very...
underrated. Very underrated.
Underrated player. Guy. You know, he's a very underrated guy. And you know, Bob, he he scores. He's a playoff. Yeah. He's a playoff scorer, Verhaeghe. So yeah, I think that they're a tough team. I think Carolina is there. I think they're a victim to their own, their traditional ways, just like Edmonton. I think Freddie Anderson is going to go down between now and game four of the playoffs. I think he's going to get hurt, and they're going to be in a world of hurt, and then they're going to get bounced. So that's what I think what's going to happen with Carolina. New York, they are a team that I think is dangerous because they were expecting last year to go on a very deep run, and they didn't. They got bounced embarrassingly by the Devils. And yep. I think that them having that experience, they're not going to take advantage of the fact that they're a playoff team and that they made it, that they know that there's a lot more work to do in the playoffs. I think that the Rangers may be dangerous because of that.
This year, they're going to be better. I think they learned last year, hey, we didn't need Patrick Kane last year.
They did. Because he was one of the few guys that was scoring for him.
But I think they ruined the chemistry when they brought him in. And they brought in Tarasenko too, which he was better, I thought. But, you know, when you bring in two guys like that, two guys are getting bumped off the roster. So I think that's what hurt New York. And, you know, you burn Shesterkin out, he's burnt out. And signing quick to be that guy, like, hey, if Shesterkin is crap on the bed, we got a 3-time Stanley Cup champion, 2-time as a starter, to back us up. So I thought that move was brilliant this season to give him Shesterkin a little competition, but a little much-needed rest, and you don't have to worry about, you know, putting your backup in and taking the L. You're going to compete just as well as Shesterkin in that. So the goaltending's better. He's rested. Shesterkin's playing great. I watched him last night get a shutout. He was fantastic. So it could be New York's year, but, dude, I just think Florida is just, I don't know what it is. Since last season's playoffs, they just been no prisoner type of thing. I think the Biz from Split and Chicklets calls him, like, he wants them to change the name to the Hyenas because that's how they play. And honestly, dude, they are like hungry, mean dogs out there. And Barkov's playing well. You know, Reinhardt's going to get 50 this year. Guy came out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
20 goal guy with, you know, Buffalo, never, you know, been in the right environment with good players. And now he is. And he's having a great year. He's a free agent. He's going to get paid big bucks next year, no matter where he ends up. But, I mean, I wouldn't want to leave if I'm having this much success and I'm, you know, playing hockey in Florida as a job.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think it's a good, very good team. And they actually extended Forsling. Forsling, remember him on the Hawks?
Yeah, 8 years, deal. 5.75 per.
Another guy that wasn't good enough to play here.
I wouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't say he wasn't good enough to play because he was playing with who was he playing with? Man, I forgot his name. But it was it was the guy's name. I think he plays for Tampa. I'd have to look at Tampa's roster.
Our former guy. Ruda?
Jan Ruta.
Yeah,
that was his name.
Jan Ruta.
Jan Ruta. Yeah. They were playing on a line together. And to be honest with you, there were days where I'm like, man, these guys are freaking good.
I know.
And then there's other days where I'm like, I don't know, you know, it's about these dudes. And they end up getting rid of them both. And I was like, you know what? I thought those guys were pretty serviceable. And now look at them. Jan Ruta, he's a Stanley Cup winner now. Yep. And Gustav Forsling has been Forsling is a everyday player for the Panthers. You know, they are a Stanley Cup favorite, and they are going to they're going to go deep. So I'm going to leave our predictions right there at that. We'll do maybe the entire playoff field when that is when that's set in stone. Yeah, we'll save that in for like another month from now. But just to kind of, because I'm getting excited for the playoffs this year. I think it's going to be interesting. I'm really curious to see what the Maple Leafs are going to do, you know, if they're going to bow out. I'm wondering if, you know, if the Red Wings are going to make it, if they're going to take a nosedive out, you know. So
it's close.
So yeah, we'll see, man.
Wild card. Yeah, it's close. It's going to be a dog fight really in the close. East for sure.
It is, and that makes it interesting. The Devils, dude, I don't know if they have the grit to make it. I think that they have talent, but the fact is that Timo Meier has pretty much have you seen him? I don't think I don't think that they've seen him in New Jersey either. Let me take a look at this guy's stats really quick. He was a 40-goal guy in San Jose, and this year it's not looking too well.
Yeah, both of us would have been 40-goal guys there, though. Me and you.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, 51 games played, 18 goals, 16 assists for 34 points. That's not what you're expecting out of a, what did he get, $8 million a year? And he's a minus 23.
Yeah, he got a max deal as a free agent undrafted, or not drafted by that team. He got that full seven, and yeah, you're hoping he would be a lot better than this, so... It's one of those things, man. They have Dougie Hamilton that's hurt still, too, I think.
He's hurt every year. He's another Mark Stone.
So if they get a goalie that, you know, can steal a game, they will be back to form. I bet you next year they're going to retool and really take it serious. Like, hey, we took a step forward, you know, last year, and then this year we took a step back, so we got to get back ahead. So they know their weaknesses. They tried Markstrom. It failed. Salary retaining thing didn't work out with Jersey, so they're gonna have to figure it out in the summer.
Well, all right, everybody, that's all that we got for you this week. Really awesome, really fun to talk about the the trades, just to see how everything shakes out. So we'll catch you on the next one. This is the Tomahawk, and we're out of here.